Hello to the Chasheva Beis Yaakov of Denver alumni. It's such a pleasure and an honor to speak with you at this time of year. There's a concept of the Zion Mashkin, seven liquids that if they come into contact with a fruit, it could make the fruit susceptible to tumah. And there's a hint to remember these seven liquids with the words Yad Shachat Dam, Yayin, Dam, Shemen, Chalav, Tal, Dvash, and Mayim. And when you think about it, these seven liquids correspond to the seven Yamim Tovim we celebrate throughout the year. Rosh Hashanah, of course, is the Dvash. On Yom Kippur, we plead for our lives. Hadam hu hanefesh. Sukkos, we have the Nisuch HaMayim, and we daven for Mayim, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Chanukah, of course, is the Shemen. Purim is synonymous with Yayin. On Pesach, we say Tefilas Tal, and many of us start saying the Tefillah of Morid HaTal. And finally, Shavuos, we eat Ma'achalei Chalav, we eat dairy foods. So being that Rosh Hashanah is symbolized by the honey, I thought that today we could take a little bit of time to look into honey and see if there are any lessons from honey that we can take with us to give us chizuk at this time of year. So if you still have those machzarim from the Ruta family that you got when you were a new student in Beis Yaakov, you can look at the page where it has the simanim for Rosh Hashanah night. And he says that the reason why we have devash, I think he's quoting from the Bnei Yisaschar, is because the word devash is the gematria of 306, which is the same gematria as the words Av HaRachamim, which of course represents the fact that we ask Hashem at this time of year to interact with us with Rachamim. But there's another word that also has the gematria of 306, and that is Isha, a woman. A woman is the same gematria as Devash. What can we learn from that? So there's an interesting question of how honey could be kosher, for a variety of reasons, but one concern could possibly be, pardon the pun, that maybe little bee parts came into the honey and would render it non-kosher. So is that anything to be concerned about? And I heard a beautiful answer that the enzymes in the honey absorb and dissolve any of those non-kosher parts, and it's null and void and nothing to be concerned about. So what does that have to do with a woman? A woman also has the unique power and ability to take the negative situations in her life and in the environment around her and to sweeten it and to try to brighten them and see the positive. And that makes me think of this time of year because many of us will be hosting or interacting with a lot of people that maybe during the year we don't interact with. We might have guests in our homes or at our tables, or we meet them in shul. And people come from different backgrounds and have had different life experiences and have different opinions and likes and dislikes, and it could lend itself to some stressful situations. But with a little forethought and preparation and knowledge of this power that we have, we can perhaps diffuse that stress, maybe with a dose of humor, maybe with some perspective, maybe with shifting the conversation in a natural way as much as we can. Definitely by taking care of ourselves during this time of year, by sleeping and eating and exercising and nourishing our souls and our bodies to be in a prime situation, in a prime state to be able to handle that stress and to be able to sweeten it. So that's lesson number one. Lesson number two, we might wonder how honey could be kosher because it comes from a bee, and we know that other byproducts of non-kosher animals are non-kosher, such as we can't have pig's milk because it comes from a pig, and we can't have eggs that come from a non-kosher bird. So then why is it that we could have honey if it comes from a non-kosher creature, the bee? And the answer to that is that the the bee only carries the honey in its stomach. It actually has a special stomach, a special sac where it carries the nectar that it takes out of the flowers and turns eventually into honey. But it doesn't really go through the body of the bee, so it's different than the milk or the eggs. So what's the lesson here? When we look at ourselves and we take stock and inventory of our actions from the past year, inevitably there are going to be parts that we're not so proud of, things we did, things we said, things we didn't do, things we didn't say that we regret. And it can obviously bring a person down. But what we have to remember is that we might have done those actions, but we are not defined by those actions. What are we defined by? Elokai neshama shenosata b'tahorahi. We say this first thing every morning, and we say this first thing Rosh Hashanah morning as well. We have to remember that our essence is a neshama tahora. I only carried those actions. They are not part and parcel of who I am. And so I turn to you, Hashem, and I ask you to help me to work through those mistakes and to try to take steps this year to be a little bit better, but to not get stuck in the mud and not think that I am those actions. I just carried them, and now I would like to leave them by the side. Lesson number three. Many of you have perhaps heard this idea from me because I just absolutely love it. There's a pasuk in Vayikra that talks about the fact that when a person brings a karban, they cannot bring it with seor, with chametz, or with devash, but rather every karban should be brought with salt. What is that? What does that teach us? So we know that when we're going to put some honey on our apple or on our challah, honey is a very pungent food with an overtaking flavor. And the lesson is that when a person wants to bring a karban, when a person wants to come close, karban is milashon karov, when a person wants to come close to Hashem, we have to do it authentically. We can't even smother ourselves with something sweet that's not us. In other words, sometimes we want to be somebody else. And Hashem says, I want you. I have her in my world already. I want you. Even though what she has is very sweet, don't smother yourself. I want you to come to me with who you are. The good, the bad, the ugly, everything. Come close to me who you authentically are. That's the lesson of the melach, the salt. Every karban should be brought with salt, because the property of salt is that it brings out whatever is innately inside of the item. That's why we kosher meat with salt. It brings out the blood that's in there. That's why you put salt into some of your baked goods that you really don't want to come out salty, but you just need that little bit of salt to bring out that natural flavor. Nowadays, we have so much more access than we used to know what goes on in other people's lives, what their accomplishments are, sometimes what their family life is like, or so we think, what their financial capabilities are, and so on and so forth. And it could leave us feeling inadequate and less than. And what we have to remember is that when we come before Hashem at this time of year and always, we have to come to Hashem with who we truly are. Don't smother yourself with that honey, but rather come close to Hashem with who you truly are. As women, every morning we say the beautiful bracha of She'asani Kirtzono, Hashem, you made me according to your will. And something that I think about is, you know, Hashem, there are parts of me that I'm not so crazy about, but if I'm honest with myself, I've had them since I was born, and some of the situations in my life perhaps I didn't ask for. Some of the parts of me are uglier than others, and some of them I'm happy with. But whoever I am, I come before you, Hashem, with all of it. You made me according to your will, and I'm going to come before you, Hashem, with all of it, and I'm going to try to use all of that to serve you, which brings us to the next lesson. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that says, "Dvash v'chalav tachas lishonech," where the Torah is compared to both honey and milk. What's the common denominator between honey and milk? Both of these are delicious, nourishing foods, but if you think about it, they come, both honey and milk, come from impure sources. What do I mean? Well, where does milk come from? The milk comes from the blood inside the mother, and it is turned and produced into milk. So when you think about it, it's something that has an impure source, but is transformed into something pure. And same with honey, like we said before, it comes from a non-kosher creature, but yet it is something pure. That's the power of Torah. Torah can take the impure parts of us and make them pure. And again, when we're taking stock and inventory of ourselves at this time of year, inevitably we're going to find stuff that's impure. And part of the avoda is perhaps instead of suppressing those tendencies inside of ourselves, instead of doing that, maybe we could figure out a way to rechannel them. As we know, midos are not necessarily good or bad. They just have to be used the correct way. One example could be a person who has a tendency to talk a lot. We know that could get somebody in a lot of trouble. There's Lashon Hara and Onas Devarim, and maybe revealing information that really shouldn't be public. And so that could be really bad. But on the other hand, a person who likes to talk can teach, can tell people stories, can say Divrei Torah, can make people feel at ease through making conversation with them, which a quieter person would have a harder time doing. And so what we have to do is take these negative parts of ourselves and try to think, how could I serve you, Hashem, with this trait? As we say in Shema, Bechol Levavecha, Bishnei Yitzrecha. And finally, let's not leave the apple in the dark. What could we learn from the apple? So many of you perhaps have heard Rabbi Krohn speak about the idea that you can count the seeds in an apple, but you cannot count how many apples come from those seeds. As women, we invest so much into our families, into our communities, into our children, into our clients, and we never know how far those actions and those investments go. Sometimes it takes years before they sprout and we find out, and more often than not, we never find out. But our job is every day to get out there and plant as much positivity and encouragement and goodness and chesed and Torah into the world and into other people as we can. And so I would like to take the opportunity to wish each of you a kesiva v'chasima tova, a sweet, joyous year filled with health and hatzlacha beruchnias and hatzlacha begashmias. Thank you for listening.